It's my pleasure to welcome you here today to this morning's program. I wanted to give you a reminder about next week's program. Does anyone remember what next week's program is from the schedule? No, you didn't even know what today's program was when you walked in, which is good. It doesn't matter. You're just supposed to come or listen because you'll always learn something. It's always interesting. But next week we're going to be talking about the Syracuse Airport and also the Syracuse Airport Authority with a relatively new commissioner, Christina Reale. She is not only in charge of the major renovation project that's going on at the airport, but also managing the process of the new airport authority. And we may also have the chair of the airport authority here to answer some questions. But so that is next week, and so we'll look forward to that. We'll learn a lot. We know the airport is important to the economic development of the city, as are professional as well as non-professional sports, which we're going to be talking about today. And to introduce today's panel, actually the person who suggested this topic, TMR member Sean Becker. Thank you, Sean.
Good morning, everybody. In an obviously past life, I was involved with a group that many of you have heard of, 40 Below. And one of the things that I was involved in with that was the civic engagement arm of that group. And when we were introducing to the new people what we were trying to do and what our mission was, we would explain to people that there's more to do in Syracuse than just go to the Carrier Dome. And we would say that half-jokingly just to kind of get the conversation started. But we do believe that that was true. However, sports have an important part in our community, and these folks here represent an important part of that. So from your left to right, we have Mr. Jeff Mickle, who is the Sports Development Director of the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau. He's a graduate of Syracuse University's SI Newhouse School of Communications. And for the last 3+ years, he has been the director, correct? The director of development for the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau. And prior to that, he spent several years with the Special Olympics, New York, director of competition. And prior to that, he was with the news and sports director for Roser Communications. Next to him is Mr. Tommy Tanner. He is the president and head coach of the Syracuse Silver Knights. He's a Syracuse native with an accomplished soccer playing and coaching career. He graduated from Henniger High School and continued his education with a soccer scholarship to North Carolina State. And upon his college graduation, his professional career encompassed 14 years with 3 different teams, including the Syracuse Salty Dogs. During his 14 years as a player, he played in 13 professional league championships, winning 7 titles. He was Rookie of the Year in 1991 and 1992. He's currently the president of the Empire United Soccer Academy. He holds a Class B coaching license, and they have a business in Mattydale. He and his wife and 3 children, Zach, Sydney, and TJ, reside in DeWitt. And then next to him, we have Mr. Vance Lederman. He's the general manager of the Syracuse Crunch. Prior to becoming the general manager of the Crunch hockey team in 1996, he served as a treasurer for AST, which is one of Europe's leading steel manufacturers. He's a graduate of Brooklyn College in New York. And Mr. Lederman began his career in finance as the credit director at Canon USA, spent 12 years there before joining the Crunch on a full-time basis. He's a member of the advisory board for Elmcrest Children's Center, and he serves on the AHL's Sales and Marketing and All-Star Committees. He's an avid hockey fan himself. He is now a full-fledged Central New Yorker living in Onondaga Hill with his wife, Shelley, and their children, David, Melissa, Kyle, and Corey. Would you please join me in welcoming them to today's show?
Thank you very much. My name is Jeff Mickle. I'm with the Syracuse Convention and Visitors Bureau, Sports Development Director, which is a snazzy title for saying my job is to bring outside sports events into the city, and my buzz phrase every day of my life is put heads in beds. We're funded through room hotel rooms. We're funded through room occupancy tax. And what I am charged with, is trying to find events that fit into our community, our facilities, and our what I call our niche markets that will bring people in, they'll spend the night, they'll have a great competition, great expo, great conference, whatever they're here to do or whatever we can lure them to do, and then go out and enjoy the rest of the Syracuse community. In my office of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, we also have salespeople who represent government, fraternal groups, medical groups, Mine are just sports and hobby. Some of the events that I've worked on that we brought into town include Ironman and Iron Girl, which are all part of the World Triathlon Corporation. I think we are the only city in the country that has two WTC licensed events, and those take place in the summer. We work closely with the groups that are already in town and the professional organization to see where we can help in any of their events, because we're all about sports and community. We want to work and bring people in town and spend the night and spend more money, but the bottom line is we want to help whatever we can to further the sports community and sports environment, because that's what makes people want to come here. There's a reason that Bass and ESPN chose Oneida Shores and Onondaga Lake to come here. It's because the facility is great, but it's also because there's a huge local angling community and they're sort of built-in attendees. There's a reason why WTC has two events here. It's because the running community is so vibrant and so active here that they know they'll get the support, they'll get the understanding, and that the facility is unbelievable. And that's what we try to do. So we try to help grassroots groups that are just doing a little local, what we call a local event, because you never know. That local event could lead to a regional event, which could lead to a national event, which could blow up into some big business for everybody, and just better recognition for the Syracuse area. And one of the things I tell people all the time is, with these events, I don't have to sell the planners from Louisiana or Florida. Sometimes I have to sell the people who live here. We can do this. Syracuse can handle this Ironman event. We can bring these people from across the globe in here, and they can have a great time and compete at a world-class facility. I don't have to sell the planner that. They come to me and try to sell me. I sometimes have to sell the area, and that's one of the things that I think all sports, what's great about sports, and why I love sports, sports stirs the drink here. Sports gets this community fired up. Everybody's winner is better when the SU athletic team is doing better. Everybody's winner is better when these respective teams are better. Sports ties this community because this is a vibrant sports community for any age bracket, any sport, any demographic you name. There's active sports participants in this community, and it's great. And that's why I love going to work every day, because I get to sell something that's unbelievable, the potential of Syracuse and what they can do for the sports community. Not only the traditional sports and the 30,000 people you see all the time at the Carrier Dome, but the fishing. We had the U.S. Snowshoe Championships here at Highland Forest. We had people from Arizona to Wisconsin to Minnesota raving about Highland Forest. We had 22 volunteers there who had never been there. This area rocks. It has unbelievable natural facilities that people from out of town come in and go, this is great, can we come back? I love selling it. I love educating people on it. And if you have any ideas or you participate in any sporting event, any endeavor, anything that you think we can host or come in and educate the rest of the world how great it is here, please feel free to come up to me after, because we go after everything, because everybody should know how great it is here. And working with these guys just makes it that much better. We just did an event last night with Vance's crew. We met some of our clients in Albany, went to a Crunch game, watched the Crunch kick some Albany butt. We did an event the other night with the soccer team. We're all working together, and the bottom line is we all want to make money, and we all want to bring money in, but the bottom line is we do what we do because we like this area, because we can do what we do anywhere. This area rocks, and I'm just glad to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to say so. And that's my 5 minutes.
Want to go? Me? My name's Tommy Tanner, and I'm the president of the Syracuse Silver Knights. And like you said, I love Syracuse. I mean, why would we live here if we didn't actually love Syracuse? Because I've been to a lot of places in this country, and it's beautiful weather and everything else. But I think the people in Syracuse are the best people that of any city and community I've ever been to. The friendliest, the nicest. And my players, they're all brand new. We're a part of the MISL, which is the major indoor soccer league, which is the highest level of professional indoor soccer in this country. Right now, there's only 120 players in this country making money playing soccer. So it's a very high level. We play at the War Memorial, and it's really not soccer. It's more like human pinball if you haven't been to a game yet. It is extremely fast. We lost the other night 21-17. So it's not your typical soccer score. It is pretty much just like the NBA. Every goal is worth 2 points. There's a 3-point arc. So when you score from outside the 3-point line, which is 45 feet from the goal, it's worth 3 points. So we won when I was playing in Cleveland. We won a game 54-17. So in a soccer game. So it's actually not your typical soccer game. And my whole life has been soccer. Like I said, went to Henniger High School, North Carolina State, and then played 13 years. I was a member of the Salty Dogs when we came back here in 2003 and 2004. And although the community support for the Salty Dogs was fantastic, I think we averaged about 7,000 fans a game, the business model wasn't great. So when I had an opportunity to bring indoor soccer back to Syracuse through one of my owners in Rochester, who's now the commissioner of the league. I thought it was just a great opportunity for Syracuse to bring soccer back. And we started in last July, July 2011, to bring the team back. And through about a year's planning, we got started late, well, August 2012, and the league started in November. But you know, we've had our ups and downs. Obviously, we're 8-13 on the year. We're a brand new team, expansion team. So we lost some games that we should have won, and we've won some games that we should. I mean, it's being the head coach is a difficult thing. I'm losing my hair, I think, doing this. But it's been exciting. It's been fun. We have players from two from Colombia, one from Brazil. Trinidad and Tobago, Jamaica, all warm weather countries coming to Syracuse. And I tell them about how the weather's going to be terrible. Well, we've had the best winter ever, so maybe that's it. We have three or four local Syracuse players on the team, J.D. Grudenwald at FM, Danny Stevens out of Liverpool High School. They've just done super. Our goalkeeper, Brian O'Quinn, works here locally, was player of the week in our league this year. So we have a mix of guys from California, North Carolina. I could go on and on. They're from everywhere. And, you know, our big thing in the community, we've been in 17 schools in the past 2 weeks doing what we would call a Knights Code, which is we focus on positive thinking, nutrition, and teamwork. And this Wednesday, we invited all like, I think, 4,000 kids. We've given a voucher to the game Wednesday night, and it's been fantastic. Some of our biggest challenges have been that all the former professional teams that have failed, including the Salty Dogs, including the Soldiers, and Vance, you can probably help me with some of the other ones that have
basketball teams.
Some basketball teams.
The Raging Bulls, I think.
Yeah.
for one game.
And that's kind of been our in the community we'll wait and see if you're around in year two. So that's been one of our major challenges. But we've focused on the soccer community and the business community. And just getting out in schools. Soccer players are great guys. They don't make $1 million a year. Our average salary is $1,500 to $4,000 a month. We house the guys. We feed the guys, and they're here for 5 months, and they're out in the community every day. And we know as soccer players, and me being a soccer player, is that what you have to do to get community support? And I think we're a little bit easier than Vance, because my guys will be around for years to come, and they can build some rep in the community. Vance, when I talk to him when he gets a great player, they end up going on and going to Anaheim or whatever team they're with. So it's very difficult sometimes for the community. But in terms of the soccer players, I'll have, hopefully bring back about 12 of these 18 guys this year's team. So they'll be in the community again for next year, and we can build some support. Thank you.
Vance Liedemann from the Syracuse Crunch. I will echo one sentiment of Tommy, and that is I've lost quite a bit of hair over the last probably 5 or 6 years. Little background on the Crunch. We've been around for 18 years. We started in 1994. And quite frankly, when we started here, there was many naysayers. We used to get calls all the time saying, you guys are never going to make it. This is a hockey graveyard. We had a team here. It didn't work. And after a couple of years, they stopped calling. We're very proud of the fact we've been here for 18 years. And I think a lot of that has to do with we're very involved in the community. We probably do over 200 appearances per year with our hockey guys. And again, to echo Tommy's sentiments, hockey guys are great. Very grounded. To come to Syracuse is a big city to a lot of these guys. They come from, small farming towns, and really they are just so grounded, and they love doing appearances with kids and reading. And so we're very proud of the fact of what we've done in the community. And quite honestly, that was one of our objectives, one of our missions, you might say, when we first came here, was to, get involved, give back, and to the point of not only appearances, but I would say we've probably donated, as far as money and product donation, in excess of $500,000 over the 18 years. We started a small Crunch Foundation where we donate money. We have different fundraising activities for groups to come into the arena, you know, raise some money. And it's not a popcorn sale. It's not a cookie sale. It's something different where people come to games and they enjoy and raise money at the same time. To take a step back a little bit, we are in the American Hockey League, which is the top developmental league for the National Hockey League. 90% of the guys that play in our league will go on and play in the National Hockey League. So it's really kind of refreshing to see when you have a guy come through Syracuse, and of which we've had many, playing in the National Hockey League right now. It's a real good feeling, and I think the city really kind of embraces that, and we've really embraced the city. I mean, quite honestly, over 18 years, we haven't really had a lot of success, you know, quite honestly, on the ice. But we have a very strong fan base, a very strong core, and I think we really kind of take care of our fans as well. We really go above and beyond. We really try to make everybody happy. And I know sometimes it's not easy, but we really try to make everybody happy and try to make everybody satisfied. In terms of the business, as I said, we've been around for 18 years, and on the corporate side, we're in a 30-team league. We're one of the smallest markets in the American Hockey League right now. Generally, we're in the top five in corporate sponsorship. So that tells me a lot, not only about us, but about the corporate community as well. We work very closely with them to achieve their objectives. And we're very, we're very customer service oriented. We try to make everybody happy. And, you know, as everybody knows, sometimes it's not very easy to make everybody happy. But I think, again, we've made it 18 years. We plan to be here for a very long time. When I first came up to Syracuse, quite honestly, I grew up in Brooklyn. I didn't really even know where Syracuse was, quite honestly, because when you live there, like Westchester's upstate, and I really, it's true. First time I was here, it was in April. I had a meeting with Howard Dolgan, who's our president and CEO. We get off the plane and it's snowing. And I'm like, you couldn't pick San Diego? But the community's been wonderful. I love this community. I mean, I've really grown to love it. I mean, I live in Onondaga Hill. I've really grown to love this community. And I consider myself a Central New Yorker now. Even though my roots are in Brooklyn, I do consider myself a Central New Yorker. My kids went to school here, and so it's just a real good feeling to be part of the community. I feel we're a very big part of the fabric of this community now. It took us a little while to get there, but I think that it's nice to say that we, you know, all the doubters that came to us right away, it's nice to say, hey, you were totally, totally wrong. And we plan to be here for many years to come.
Questions. I have a question for you. What sort of is the, do you have an estimate, Jeff, of what the economic impact of sports in the community is? I know you like to.
Yeah, I like to not throw out those numbers.
Okay.
But I usually pass that off to one of my bosses. But the bottom line is, not factoring in SU and all the economic impact they have, which is obvious, the economic impact of sports in this community, not even talking on your guys' behalf either, is in the tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars. I mean, the U.S. Bowling Congress event that was just here last year, I think, was estimated at $45 million alone. Sports is a huge market here. And then it also depends on what you factor into it. For instance, when we booked these triathlons, then triathlon stores popped up in the retail world. You could argue, in my humble opinion, that when Bass took off, all of a sudden hotels started appearing up over by Oneida Shores. You know, so the economic impact it's such a fluid thing, but it's in the tens of millions of dollars every year, whether it's an event that the CVB brings in and touches, or whether it's the great stuff that's already going on here in the county and in the city. Sports is a huge economic engine in this area.
Sure, I'll say for just the bowling that they brought into the thing is I own a restaurant in Mattydale. It's called Woody's Jerkwater, and I probably had 15 to 20 women bowlers in my restaurant every single night. So just that bring the business it brought to my business, which is was not downtown. I'm sure how the bowling impacted downtown had to be incredible.
Right, you bring up downtown. Sometimes you hear people lament the fact that the baseball stadium is not downtown, and yet we have the On Center, the War Memorial downtown, and the Crunch and the Silver Knights are playing there regularly. Do you see it? How is it important to you to be downtown? And is there any danger that you might not be downtown someday? Now we have a big arena on Onondaga Hill. And is there anything that could be downtown, anything that downtown could do to make it better for you and your fans, speaking of the business?
We would never be anywhere but downtown. I mean, if you see, excuse me, if you see across the country all the new venues that are being built, certainly, say, over the last 10 to 12 years, they've all been seemingly very successful. They've all been downtown, and they've all been, the venue has been like the centerpiece of an urban renewal. And I think it's important, I think, for a city to be vibrant, the downtown has to be vibrant. And you gotta get people to come downtown. I have to tell you, I speak to many fans. You know, during games, I'm walking around, I'm talking, and quite frankly, they're telling me that if not for us, many people wouldn't come downtown. You know, the people in Cicero, you know, the people in Baldwinsville, very few, excuse me, very few people come downtown on a regular basis. And that's sad because, again, I think for a city to be vibrant, I really think it's critical that downtown has to be a place where people want to come to. And I've seen over the last 5 years, seen all these, you know, housing units that are being built and all these restaurants, and I think it's starting. I really do. And I think that we got a little momentum. You know, there's a lot of money being invested downtown now. I read something where $400 million, I think, you know, some kind of number like that. And, you know, I think it's important for people to come downtown. But like I said, when I talk to fans and they say they only come downtown to see us, it's sad. I mean, you have so much, this city, again, I come from New York, come from Brooklyn, Long Island. This city, while small, has so much to offer that people just don't know about. They really, really don't. I mean, and it's kind of sad, but I think it's changing a little bit, but it doesn't happen overnight.
First, let me thank you. You know, I think the sports that you do bring to Syracuse are very, very important. To our overall quality of life. But I think there are things that could be done. You used to have in the War Memorial college hockey tournaments during vacations, and particularly when they were teams that you have a tremendous number of alumni in the area that would come to see them, you know, St. Lawrence, Clarkson, and Cornell, and so forth. I think that would be something you could do. But I think, Jeff, for example, you need to think a little bit. Look at Lake Placid. You can't go up to the Saranac Lake Placid area and not find something going on. I came out of the woods one night. I'd been in a lean-to for two nights. I wanted a hotel room and a shower. And the first place I stopped had, they said, Charlie, you won't find a motel or a hotel room for 100 miles. I said, what's going on? They said, it's rugby week. We have 100 rugby teams here, and they're playing on every high school and actually on the horse fields where they have that sort of thing. So the more you can bring like that, you know, thinking outside the box, I think the bowling was a good example, I think it could be very, very helpful.
Right. That's an excellent point, and we do. And one of the situations is that's an interesting point. Just for the record, we dwarf the number of events that come into Lake Placid, that come into the Onondaga County area. But we do. We pitch rugby. You name a sport, we pitch beer growing, horseshoe pitching, rodeo, rugby. My definition of sports has expanded exponentially since I took this job. But I'm with you 100%. We've got to get outside the box. And it's not only at the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and I'm glad that you said it, because a lot of the people in the community who are some movers and shakers here who still think it's basketball, football, baseball driven, and those are great sports, and hockey and soccer. But the bottom line is the growing sports are a little bit more on the exterior sometimes, and those people come in and spend just as much money as anybody else, to be frank. So, yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying, and I appreciate the comment.
I have a marketing idea for each of you, and then a final question for you, Tom, for you, Jeff. Vance, have a Paul Newman movie at the Palace Theater with a combination ticket to the Syracuse Crunch. Okay? Tom?
Is about 5 or 6 years ago, we actually retired his number 7, Reggie Dunlap, jersey. We hung a banner up in the arena. It was all about slap.
Have that movie up again. The
do it in the arena, though. You know, do it on the scoreboard after a game.
Tom, have individual high school nights where they sponsor it and get them to have tickets and see a game.
And I'll say this, starting late in September, actually might, and next year going into, every community will have a night. That will be Janesville night, it will be Fayetteville night, it will be Ballsville night, and we'll have the bands, and we'll have the cheerleaders, and we'll have, you know, all the schools and all the business communities of each one tied into a single game. Like I said, we started late this year in terms of getting, you know, it's a whole year process, so it's a great idea, and we have plans.
Good. And Jeff, you get a combination marketing idea and a question, and that is have the senior games. We used to have the senior games at Cortland. New York State is no longer sponsoring them. Have them at Syracuse. Give something to Cortland, though, for doing it so long.
They're not in our county. We don't care about that.
Hey, we're a little bit wider thinking than that. Come on now. But talking about thinking, you have the Iron Men and you have the Iron Girls. That's all my comment.
No charge for those suggestions, by the way.
For the record, those are branded events run by the World Triathlon Corporation. If you want their email and contact number, I'll be happy to pass it off to you.
It's always hard to follow John with a question or a comment. My question is Crunch related. How do you recruit players to the Crunch from the American League and then as they move up to the National League? It always seems like there's a lull and the Crunch loses a little bit as the better players move on. Could you just tell me how you get the players in the first place?
Yeah, we actually don't deal with, on the hockey side. The National Hockey League club, you know, we're affiliated with the Anaheim Ducks. They actually sign the players to contracts. So it's kind of like releasing their players for the season, so to speak. So they, you know, they handle the hockey. We handle the business of hockey, quite frankly. But to your point, you know, we are a developmental league for the National Hockey League. Although obviously you want to win because, you know, we've always had the feeling that you always develop a little bit better in a winning situation than a losing situation. So when a guy, you know, when a player does extremely well here, He gets called up to, you know, to the parent club, and then it's kind of just like a little bump in the road that, you know, you have to get over in order to continue winning. But it's all Anaheim that does all the contracts, and, you know, basically every guy signs a contract with the parent club. I like to recruit some players, but they won't let us.
Jeff on the spot, but with a great tradition and legacy of lacrosse in this area, what are the chances of ever getting the NCAA National Collegiate Lacrosse Championships here?
Well, there's a couple of points. One, if for that to happen, SU has to obviously be the leading force because they put that bid in. And the fact of the matter is, as great as the Carrier Dome is now, that Final Four weekend is almost outgrown the scope of that building in terms of attendance. And that's just a reality of life. These events are becoming really popular, and if they can sell out Raven Stadium, which I think where it was in the Patriot Stadium as well, those are just bigger venues. And the NCAA is probably the leading animal of if it's green, it works. So if they can make money. But SU would be the driving factor there. Just as they are with the NCAA tournament, when that comes into town, we work really closely with them, but they oversee the bid process and things like that, and I'm sure they've looked at it, and I'm sure the conversation has been, that's a great facility, but the bottom line is we're leaving X number of thousands of people outside in that green talks.
One of the things about Syracuse is that, you know, we've come to assume that the basketball team is always going to be there and be ranked in the top 20, and yet people talk about recruiting, how hard it is because of our weather. And I'm pretty sure that the basketball players on that team are still going to the same school, same dorm, and same food plan as all the other sports that are out there. And sometimes Syracuse has an inferiority complex on what it's able to do. And, Jeff, to your point, we have all these activities. We have bash competitions. We have bowling competitions. Is there any sort of marketing theme that's in the works or trying to get out there that it's to coalesce around all this stuff to get the message out that, hey, there is a lot to do other than just – advertising the specific events?
That's a great question. I think you bugged our office, actually. We have that debate a lot, whether, because to be honest with you, when I talk to planners who are not from here, they don't sweat the weather. You know, they sweat the facility. How much is my hotel room going to cost? Can I get from point A to point B? Do I have to get from point A to point B? The weather, it's not a factor to them. The bigger problem to your question, the weather locally is the biggest issue in the world. And that's one of our debates. Do we market that to the local people and say, hey, the outsiders know about it, but it doesn't influence their decision as much as this hotel room doesn't work, this facility doesn't work, I need to get downtown and I don't want to drive the 5 minutes. You know what I mean? No, the weather, I can't think of one client I lost because of the weather. I've lost clients because our bid fee wasn't big enough, our facility wasn't good enough, our hotel rooms, there weren't enough, or there weren't enough close to the venue. In my 3-plus years, and I worked at Special Olympics before this where I planned statewide events, I've never lost anything because of the weather. That's a local, it's great, and I understand what everybody does, and it is a factor here, but the people who are earning their living on it, it doesn't factor, at least in my world, into the decision of how their life goes. I don't know if that answered your question. So we're trying to figure out a way to market it, but it's not hurting in my particular market. It's not that big a deal.
Vance. The War Memorial is a county facility. Although it's not always been easy, perhaps you could share with us the leverage that the crunch has used in the upgrades at the War Memorial.
Well, I think we've used our leverage to a certain extent, but you don't want to step over the line, as you know. So, we are a primary tenant in the War Memorial. The building is very old. I mean, it is 62, 63 years old, and, you know, we know we have to work with the building. To get a new venue, it's not even on our radar, quite frankly, so we said, okay, a new building's not on the radar, let's go to the county and let's talk about some upgrades for the building. The building to watch a game really is probably one of the best, if not the best, arena in the league to actually physically watch a game. Seats are very close to the ice. You know, you can hear the guys, you know, talking on the ice. It's a great venue. So we said, okay, we're committed to staying here. So we showed our commitment. We signed a 10-year lease. We've been here for 18 years. We have 7 more years left on the lease. We said, we need to have, you know, let's talk about some upgrades. You know, a scoreboard, ribbon lighting. They're now talking about on the third floor, there's a room up there that supposedly they're going to break the wall, you know, put a window and put a restaurant up there so people can watch the game. You know, in today's economy, you know, the economic reality is we have fewer revenue streams than most of the teams in the league. And by that, mainly it is suites. You know, we're one of only, you know, one of two teams in this league that do not have suites, which, quite frankly, I'll give you an example. In Binghamton, they have 8 suites. They generate $250,000 a year in revenue just for those 8 suites. That's a big number. That's a really big number. So to answer your question, I'm kind of coming around it here. To answer your question, we said we're committed to staying here. Where's your commitment, basically? And quite honestly, the county stepped up. You know, it's been a little slow, but the county has stepped up, and you know, we look at it as a partnership. We're in a partnership with the county. They run the building. So, you know, if you want us to commit, you know, again, people are saying it's a hockey graveyard. At the end of this lease, we'll be at 25 years. We're not going anywhere. I'll tell you that right now. So we showed our commitment. So that's, in a certain way, that's the leverage we use. Said, hey, we're committed to staying. We'll sign that 10-year lease. What are you going to do for us? But not only for us, but it's used by everybody. It's not just for us, but we are the main tenant, so we probably benefit the most.
Tommy, do the Knights also have a lease?
Well, yeah, we have a 3-year lease, and I don't know. We just take our turf and we roll it right on top of their ice. I mean, it goes directly on the ice. We take the back 3 boards off, and the goal goes in, and then around midfield we take the boards down. So actually, when a player scores a goal, he actually goes up into the stands, and it's a great fan experience. A little bit different than any other sport. But Vance made a point in 2003 when I went to the Crunch game. And it was with the Salty Dogs. I sat down in the seats in the club level, and I'm like, this is a perfect arena for indoor soccer. And then, so 8 years later, you know, I end up bringing indoor soccer. But the War Memorial to me is, you know, people, they call the office and they're like, well, we want good seats. There's not a bad seat. There's not a bad seat in that whole place. It is the War Memorial is a great, great place to watch a game. And we're getting about 2,000 fans in the arena right now, and it is the loudest arena by far in the league. We played in front of Baltimore in 8,000. We played in Rochester in 7,000. We actually had 100 people in Rochester. The game will be on Time Warner this Saturday. But this Sunday, we had 100 people from Syracuse come to our game in Rochester, and those 100 people were louder than the 7,000 Rochester fans. Granted, we won 23-13, so there was a reason for them to be louder. But the 100 Syracuse fans were louder than the 7,000 Rochester fans. So it's a great place to play.
Thank you, sir. How critical is it to have the Convention Center Hotel, which I'm thinking a sports center hotel or whatever? How critical is that to your success?
I'm not dodging that question, but my reality of life is that's a political issue. I sell sports. It's not there. It's not on my radar. You know what I mean? Would it help? Sure, but a lot of stuff would help. The bottom line is my personal opinion, I think our office's opinion, is we sell what we have. And would it help? I'm sure, but that's somebody way above my pay grade and experience to decide, and I appreciate the question. It's not there, so if it's not there, I don't worry about it. I sell around.
I like that attitude.
In terms of building a future fan base for hockey, does the Crunch do anything about providing skating lessons or skates for the population?
Yeah, we actually... You know, we don't provide skates, but, you know, we're very big into youth hockey, okay? We are, I think I can say this, in the 18 years we've been here, I think youth hockey has really exploded. I think it's really, the ranks have grown tremendously, and I think we raised awareness, you know, about the hockey. But I'll give you an example. Like, at the end of this month, we have our players going out to Meacham Arena, and the players are going to do a clinic, teach kids how to skate through with the city parks and rec. So we do a lot of that stuff. You know, we do a lot of the appearances. You know, the players will go out there. They'll show probably 35 to 40 inner-city kids how to skate, how to shoot a puck. So, you know, we feel that it starts early. So, you know, like as I said, we're very involved with the youth hockey and appearances such as that. So we feel eventually that will grow our fan base.
Great. And, Vance, you mentioned that the Crunch has a local foundation.
Yes.
So if anybody wanted to donate skates or money for skates, they could do that to the foundation?
Well, it's really a foundation that I guess they could, you know, but it's really a foundation where we, you know, we basically make donations, you know. I mean, not huge donations. It's a small private foundation, but we like kind of spreading it around. So we'll, you know, give a little bit of money to a lot of people than just, you know, a big check to one organization.
Gotcha. We talked. This is for Tommy and Vance, I guess, a question about the fan base. I'd like you to talk a little bit more about it because, being in Syracuse, we do have this fantastic Syracuse University institution and. and the fans show up there, and they have great expectations, and we have these terrific, we have this terrific winning basketball team. However, if the team started losing, I think the fans they seem to turn on the orange real quick, and you know we do win all the time, but if we started losing, the people might not show up at the stadium, and as Yogi Berra says, if they don't want to show up at the stadium, no one's going to stop them. thanks, Yogi. Now, you both mentioned that you don't always have the most winningest ways seasons, and you're a little bit behind in the indoor soccer, and you haven't had success every year with the crunch. But what is it about your fan base that, I mean, what's your trick in keeping loyal fans and keeping your fans from turning on you? And is there something special about fans for hockey and indoor soccer that's different from a basketball fan?
Well, I think, you know, I think for us, I don't mean to interrupt you there, but I think for us it's been that we really care about the fan. You know, there's a lot of people that give lip service and say, yeah, we care about the fans, and then they could care less. We really care about the fan. I mean, during games, I'm out in the arena and talking to people, I remember their first names. I know it sounds very trivial, but I'm very accessible. People ask me questions. I'm walking, as they said, I'm walking around the rink. I really think the closeness, you know, because I think the closeness between the organization, our front office, and the fans really makes a difference. I really do. I mean, I see other teams that, you know, their GM or their front office, they're up in a box watching a game. We don't like that. We're in the crowd. We're talking to people. For example, our president CEO, Howard Dolgan, he's the same. When I go to other, venues, other, games, and I see the GM, they're all in boxes watching games. We're not like that. We're part, we're really in the arena walking around, and as I said, we really care. We really care about the fan, and, we want nothing, as much as we want to win a championship for us, we want to win a championship for the community, and that's lip service. That is actual fact. I mean, I think this community would be fired up. I mean, really, if we won a championship. So I think it's a closeness, basically.
I mean, in terms of us, we're in year one, so we don't have any fans. We're just building our fan base. But I in my 14-year career, I played in 13 professional championships. We plan to win championships here in Syracuse, and that's our whole goal. But I will say this, I played for two of the Cleveland Crunch. My mom goes to the Silver Knights game, and my mom yells out, "Let's go Crunch" all the time. And people actually think she's talking about the Syracuse Crunch, but I played for the Cleveland Crunch for 10 years.
Yeah.
And so my mom's actually talking about when I played, and everyone looks at her like, "Well, you're not at a hockey game," but they don't really realize that I played for the Crunch for 10 years in Cleveland. And I was able to play in Rochester for 8 years, two great organizations that won many championships. But I think more than that is the community involvement of the players in the organization is what brings the fans to the games. I mean, there's 27,000 youth soccer players in Syracuse alone. You figure they got to have, two parents. You know, you're at almost 80,000 just soccer, youth soccer players here in Syracuse on top of the business community and the people that just want to go out. It's entertainment. It's great entertainment. And, our goal in mind with these two organizations when we first did it, I flew to Florida. Al Miller is a general manager for my Cleveland team, who I thought was the greatest general manager of all sports. He kept the dynasty of our team in Cleveland together for a very short. And I went down and spent 3 days with him and just asked him questions of what, Al, what do I need to do to be able to make sure this is successful in Syracuse? And it all comes down to, being a part of the community. When people say, "Well, you got to win," well, nothing against the Crunch. They haven't won a lot, and they've been around for 18 years. The Chiefs haven't won a lot, and they've been around forever also. I think the basketball team of Syracuse University basketball has to win. That's just kind of, I'm a Syracuse. I went to NC State, and I used to wear my Derek Coleman jersey to NC State. So, I mean, I'm a huge Syracuse fan. I think the basketball team has to win, but I think the other, the hockey team, the soccer, the baseball, it's the community support that's going to generate our fan base and being out there every weekend with the community.
I've heard quite a bit of commentary about Cicero and Baldwinsville and so forth. I'm from Skaneateles. It's a little farther away. A lot of people say to me, oh, Bill, you came all the way in from Skaneateles. Skaneateles is a hotbed for hockey. It really is, and I haven't heard one word from you guys about what you're doing to come out there. That's got the YMCA, the community center, has got a beautiful hockey rink, and I think that you possibly should spend a little more time in Skaneateles.
Well, when I mentioned Baldwinsville and Cicero, I was just throwing out names. I mean, I was just throwing out suburbs, you know. I mean, quite frankly, the Skaneateles rink, we were somewhat involved when it was being built. I knew the guy very well from Walsh Allen that was raising money, and so we kind of were a little bit involved in the building of it. He had asked me some questions, and we do, you know, we have players come out to youth hockey practices, and we have Skaneateles youth hockey come to our games. They raise money, you know, they sell. We have something called Chuck-a-Puck, these little foam pucks that they throw on the ice. You know, we get teams to come. Skaneateles is one of them, and they raise, you know, $300-$400 for the night and have a great time, at the same time. So, not forgetting about Skaneateles. Just want you to know that. If you want me, I'll shout out to Skaneateles if you want.
And we have a Skaneateles investor, and we also have a player whose parents live in Skaneateles. So there you go. So we're in Skaneateles.
Yeah. And at the TVB, we love Skaneateles. We have a moment every morning.
No, but I think...
Praise to Skaneateles.
But I think also, just to say one thing to speak to your point, there's a lot of communities that are very, you know, very involved in hockey. And you know, it's... You know, the Skaneateleses and all the other communities that are very, you know, I think we've really raised the awareness of hockey in this area over the last 18 years.
I have two questions. First of all, SU has a fairly new but growing sport management program, and I'm wondering if, you have considered collaborating with it or whether you are doing it because there are opportunities for internships and, you know, volunteer activities. And second question has to do with tennis. I play tennis. I know a lot of people in this community who play, and you know there are league competitions. And I'm wondering if that is a sport that you've thought about doing a special event for.
I can speak directly to the Fox School, Dr. Paulina, who and Carol Roy. We actually I'm interviewing interns from the school this week. And Gina has helped us a ton of with some research and some marketing programs. We put her in touch with the WTC people. I'm also putting her in touch with a group that's technically not sport, but I guess in my definition it is, the people at Right Coast who do King of Trucks and Syracuse Nationals, because it's just an invaluable service that a lot of the planners need. They have this vibrant, intelligent group of people who can help their event, whether it be marketing research or whether it be doing some legwork. So yeah, I can safely say we're actively involved with the school, and it's great, and they're great people. And tennis, that's a great idea. As I said, we look at everything, but I could probably do better looking at that particular one.
Great. I have a question. Again, we talked a lot about marketing and collaboration. We've talked here about the arts and culture organizations and collaboration and an effort that's been going on where the organizations have always thought that they were competing with each other, but research has shown that not necessarily. There's a lot of room for collaboration. Are there ways that you and I know, I'm sorry, that the Chiefs couldn't be represented here today, I guess, but where the Chiefs, the Knights, the Crunch work together with the CVB to kind of promote this idea of local professional sports collaborative?
Partnership is, that's a great word by Vance, and to be honest with you, it goes on so regularly, it's crazy. You're going to use the outdoor game as an example, if I can. I don't know if you remember the outdoor game the Crunch had at the fair. We helped them a little bit with promoting it via virally, and then for us personally, we brought four clients to it and booked four events. you know, so that kind of stuff. And we just had an event with the dogs recently last week. Jeez, I'm sorry. You said that 9,000 times. How crazy is that?
Quite a difference.
Yeah, exactly. And we're having a huge event. We're working very closely with Mr. Simone and the Chiefs for an event called East Coast Showcase, which is going to be the elite high school players in the year in the country coming to play baseball here. The partnership happens all the time. We had an event last night in Albany where we used the Crunch as our draw to get Albany clients. This whole, whether it's county parks, city parks, partnership gets it done because none of us are big enough really to do it alone. We all have to rely on everybody, and that includes the community. This community support is another key part of the partnership. The Fox School, that's a great piece of the partnership, which then makes it more attractive for these groups to come in. You can't say partnership enough, and it's definitely, in my humble opinion, the key to why anything comes here or why anything juices here, because you can't get it done alone, people, and everybody helps out, and without it, we can't get it done. Sorry again. Jeez, if you'd stop saying it, it'd be good.
One more question. Can you tell us when your next two home games are, Tommy and Vance?
I'll tell you our next three, because that's all we have left, is Wednesday, February 22nd at 7:30, and we're doing another thing. It's called Party in the Pitch. And from 5:30 to 7:30, it's a happy hour with live music and a band. We also have night experience. It's during school break, so we've invited youth teams to come in during the day. They get to use the locker room. I give them a little speech. They get their names announced over the loudspeaker, and they play a game against each other. And then we play Saturday night against Wichita at 7, and then March 4th against Baltimore, which hopefully will be, if we win, we're in the playoffs. And then we'll play Baltimore again. So those are our three games, the 22nd, 25th, and the 4th.
And ours is, our next two home games is Tuesday the 21st of February against Worcester and Friday, February 24th against the Albany River Rats.
Great. Okay, and I know that you all have great websites, and we've linked those to the TMR website. So if anybody didn't write those down, just link to the Knights and the Chiefs website. All right. Well, Jeff Mickle, Tommy Tanner, Vance Lederman, thank you very much for being with us this morning.
Sorry about that.